book of Deuteronomy is the fifth of the first five books of the Bible, known as the Torah or the Pentateuch. And it's a kind of a summary of the other four books, the history of Israel up to that point, and particularly the history of the Exodus and the journey through the wilderness. So now, after they've already done this for 40 years, they're preparing to enter into the promised land of Israel, and Moses is kind of recapping for them what all of this, what they've been through and what it means, not just now, but for the future in Israel. So he recalls that they were delivered from slavery in Egypt by the hand of God. And God nurtured them with the manna in the desert all through those 40 years, in other words, for a biblical lifetime. And God tested them in the desert so that they would learn to live not only on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. And what is that word? Word is the law given on Sinai. It's the Ten Commandments. It's the covenant relationship between God and Israel. That this is more than just nourishment for a day. It's nourishment for a lifetime and beyond. And just like they were in the wilderness, sometimes they got discouraged and they wanted to return to Egypt. And in a judgmental way, we can look back on them and say, well, that's so stupid. Why would they want to return to slavery? But we often do the same thing. Sometimes we want to return to something that wasn't really all that good, and maybe it was horrible, but at least we knew where we were and we knew what to expect in the next moment. The problem with the present and the future is that it's so unknown. We don't know, we trust that God is leading us, but we don't know the details. We don't have the roadmap. And so we tend to go backwards and cling to the past. Not because it was so good, but because at least we knew what was happening. Much of Christian life is about trusting in the future that God is holding out for us, and continuing on the pilgrimage way despite the temptation to go backwards and to be secure. There's something about the way, something about the pilgrimage that is insecure, and that's okay. We have to come to that point where we can own the fact that it's insecure and that it's frightening, but we also say, and that's okay because I trust in God. St. Paul, in that second reading, reminds us of what our Eucharist, our manna, which is really more than the manna. Manna is merely a type for the Eucharist. And the word, the law, is merely a type for the word that is Christ. He is the word of God. The explanation, the revelation in human form of who the Father is. He is the Word par excellence. And so here in the Eucharist, we celebrate the liturgy of the Word from that table, and we get nourished by it, fed by the Word of God. And from this table, we get nourished by the body and blood of the Word, Christ. But it's more than just looking at it. It's more than just admiring it. It's even more than expressing our gratitude for it. It's all of those things, but particularly it's participating in it. St. Paul says to the Corinthians, are you not aware that our sharing in the body of Christ is a participation in Him? Are you not aware that our drinking of the blood of Christ is a participation in Him? It's a communion. And so there's a real transformation that happens there. Not just a transformation of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, but a transformation of ourselves into the body of Christ. In the gospel, Jesus scandalizes a number of the Jews because he talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And they were kind of grossed out on that for two reasons. The first is, it sounds like cannibalism, eating somebody's flesh. And Jesus is very graphic. He's talking about chewing it. So it is a kind of a scandal, what he's saying. And the other reason that they were turned off by this is, Jews had a thing about eating or drinking the blood of animals. Blood they understood to be life. We have life flowing through our veins. Our blood is our life. And when we bleed out, we die. And to eat to drink the blood of animals was to say that I want to become an animal. And obviously, they didn't want to do that. And what Jesus is saying is, yeah, you are what you eat. That's true. And so if you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you will become the Son of Man. You will become what you eat. And St. Augustine, centuries later, said the same thing, become what you eat. And so Jesus says, drink my blood because I want you to become divine. If you drink the blood of an animal, you become an animal. If you drink the blood of God, you become divine. And that's the whole point. This is the transformation that Jesus is interested in, then and now. And so we gather around these two altars, the altar of the Word and the altar of the Eucharist. And especially on this feast of the Body and Blood of the Lord, we give thanks for what God has done for us in Christ. But we also accept the challenge, not just to remain on the pilgrimage journey to the kingdom of God, not just to trust in that future, but to be willing to be sent forth from here and be Christ to the world. If we have become Christ here, then we are challenged to take that out there. And that's a little scary too. It's a reminder to us that all love is paschal. All love involves some kind of self-offering. It involves some kind of victimhood, some willingness to lay down my life for the other, to make myself available, to make myself vulnerable. And so as we go out into the world as members of the body of Christ, we're not naive about this. We know that the world will sometimes reject us. We know that the world will sometimes be angry with us or find us ridiculous. It cost Jesus the cross. It's going to be costly for us to be the body of Christ to the world. And yet we're willing to try it. We're willing to step out there and take that risk because we have learned over time to trust that Christ is always with us. And then finally, Jesus says in that gospel, your fathers ate manna in the desert and they still died. But anyone who eats this bread will never die. We're not talking about nourishment for a day or for a week. We're talking about nourishment forever. This transformation is not just something to get us through the next week. This transformation is eternal. To become divine is to become eternal. God is the only one who lives forever. Everything else passes away. But if we become part of God, then we don't pass away either. We share in his life forever.